It's a joy to be with you. And I get the privilege of sharing this morning, which is great. I think this is our through COVID, I think this is the first church talk we've done through COVID that I actually got to at the first meeting. So it's very cool to be with you guys. And it's quite funny. As Kim was sharing earlier, we've grown very quickly through COVID as a church. And I was beginning to get nervous that we were driving. So in one of the first couple of things of the year, I said, guys, we're slowing down the church plants. I really don't want to be planting churches for the next period. And a few weeks later, Richard called me and said, man, I'm feeling like the Lord is going to do something with the soils in Gordon's Bay. And as I heard it, I knew it was like, God had a different plan to my plan. And this is a testimony of Jesus.
Yes.
Testimony of what he does with just ordinary people. People like you and me. That come out of different walks of life. But he brings us into this thing called his church. And he builds incredible things in his business. And you know, you have to put the guy leading you on the ground. It's a hungry deacon, not even a deacon. I couldn't be a deacon. And Josh's generation is in his many congregations, we're growing quickly. It is also to have a young man from Holland, where were you? Hans, he's from Holland. His leader was exposed to one of our churches that we partner with in the Pumalanga area. And really fell in love with the way we church, seeing it as a New Testament way of doing church. And I've been coaching him long distance, and he's planted a church in Holland. What is it, about a year and a bit ago now?
Yeah.
And how many people have you baptized? It's around 50 people that have been baptized. And to get baptized in Holland as an adult, you literally get excommunicated out of the community. And to see these people's to see what Jesus is doing, and now the young man who's now come into that church, comes through that church, and is actually in South Africa for a short period of time, as one of the churches that we partner with in the nation. God does amazing things for ordinary people. And if you're here, and you still got oxygen in your lungs, God's got something that he wants to do with you. And we believe the church is the place that you go and sit down and enjoy a preach and, you know, go watch a movie and then you just say that and go home. We believe the church of the New Testament is a place where people, as sons and daughters, as a family of God, come together to love one another, not just on a Sunday, but in every single day of the week, because we are a family. The Bible says, Jesus said this. By this will the world know that you are disciples. By your love, one for another. And so if your meeting is about church is Sunday, man, it is everything. It's who we are. It's how we express our sense of family and community and open our homes and our lives one to another.
Yeah.
And so it is great if you are a visitor. I guess this has probably already been a bit shocking. You probably think you've been yet, Scotty. there is a sense that we are just passionate about trying to go back to the Bible. And just live with another. You know, we believe that Jesus died for a church. It's very different to so much of what we come out of. Those of us that kind of grew up in the church. And we wanted to go back to the Bible and say, how do we do it in such a way that this expresses, if the early apostles and the early Christians were alive today, what would their Christianity look like? And I do want to suggest you can read the book of Acts and then it looks a lot different from much of Christianity that really arrives on a Sunday and then just carries on living a decent life. Then we're devoted to the King and then we're devoted to the Kingdom. And as we give ourselves to Him, it's profound what He does. I mean, I stand in front of you, I lead Josh here, I lead 412, I lead 4SA, which is all these things. And I mean, there's hundreds of churches around the world that I've worked into and oversee. And I'm the guy that was saved out of a car. I was a drug addict, dropped out of university. And Jesus took me, saved me, loved me. And really gave me an incredible miracles that I don't deserve. And that, you know, I'll never hurt him. It was the kindness to me. And the thing is, he wants to be kind to you too. He wants to do something with your life.
Yes.
But when you die, come into his presence on that last day. What will he do to you? What will he do? Yeah, have you given yourself to Him? Have you, Jesus speaks about that we need to pick up our cross and lose our life with Him so that we can find life. Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength? These are the things that Jesus taught us in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And these are the kind of people that we want to build and train and equip that we as a people can love God the way He loves to love.
Yeah. After that, you know, when you get married, you don't know what it means to you. Doesn't mean married. You know, I often say love is blind, marriage is the eye of us. Because you go into this thing thinking like, you know, we have so much in common and we see. But when you get married, you realize how different men and women are. I mean, these books written about it, you know, like, you're from another man. Modern women from years away. And the other thing you realize when you get married, you realize, oh my goodness, like, she's totally different from me. Like, the things I like, she doesn't like. And the things she likes, I don't like. Like, what is the point of flowers? Can anyone explain that to me? Like, they die every day. Things are getting lost. It's weird. This means a lot. It means so much. But I have these little things that I want to put in the book. Flowers are really good right now. And the thing we learn is, when I learn what she loves, and learn to love her the way she loves to love, actually that's where marriage really comes into that sweet space. And likewise, what she learns to love me the way I love to be loved. And so marriage is this giving of ourselves one to another. And it's a total giving word. I think we get married selfishly, and then marriage beats the selfish out of us. We learn that it's actually not about us. And if you don't get it right here, kids will make sure that you are truly there, because you'll see, and those are the things that you once were are now lost, because you're now learning to love another person the way we love. And when that little baby keeps us happy, or cries at night, you have no choice but to get out of your comfort zone and find and love that little person. And there's not really that come back at first. But it's a one-way thing you do, and amazingly, as you love, so that little bit is going to turn you back. Love is always a giving thing. I think when we come to God, we fail to understand that the most important thing, Jesus said, the most important thing for us human beings, when He was asked, what is the most important commandment? He said this, love the Lord your God with your heart, with your mind, with your soul, with your strength. And then He said the second commandment is like the first. That you love your neighbor as love yourself. And here's the thing I've learned about God. He loves what I love.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you come to see Him, you realize His love is so different from mine. You know, I have a natural, as a human being, as a part of me, it's messed up because of the first human with Adam. I have an evil part of me that loves glory. It loves being noticed. I want space for rocks and attention and the seats of respect. And I've had a big burst inside of me because I realize that He doesn't like that. The kingdom of news, the one of it all, the word, comes to humanity and offers His cheek those who love His beard. He becomes, the Bible says there was nothing in Him that we should find attractive. He makes Himself, He humbles Himself. And becomes obedient to death on a cross. For me, He's so different. And then I'm going to learn to love Him and what He loves. And so as we come to Him, we come one way, and the more you walk with Him, you experience His love, so you begin to realize, oh my goodness, I'm going to learn how to love. I think in this one other way here, Jesus, or the New Testament, Paul said this. He said, you know, you could have faith to move mountains. You could surrender your body to flames. You could be the biggest social justice warrior on the planet. But if you haven't got love, you have nothing. Even faith that moves mountains is nothing. You haven't got love. So the question we have to ask is, do we love God the way He loves to be loved? You know, worship this morning, for some of us, was shocking. It was like, okay, that's it, I'll let go of that. I'm uncomfortable. I remember that feeling myself walking into a church. I was brought up in an alien church, which is very different from this. And I remember walking into a charismatic church. I thought I was a Christian, I realized that I wasn't. And people, they weren't even as crazy as these guys were this morning. I mean, some people lifted their hands and I was like, this is weird. I remember some people clapped once or twice, and I was like, this is really weird, like, I'll never come back, but I'm hugely uncomfortable.
felt that pressure that I had to do this too, and I'm going to do that. Like, God knows that I, oh, that's what I thought, you know, God knows that, like, I'm a Christian. And then we get standing in that meeting thinking I'm never coming back. And then, you come through Jesus and his time. And everything's starting to change. And still struggling with worship. I come to church and enjoy worship in Europe. I was a surfer, I had long hair, and I thought I was the coolest part of the planet, I really did. And so I was thinking, the Christians just did not look cool. They were using their little, and I was like, I'm not going with it. And then one day I was standing singing a song, and I lift my hands to come and king. I remember this very thing to me. I was singing, I lift my hands to come and king. I'm singing, but I'm not lifting my hands. Because that's not what I do, that's not me, I'm not comfortable with that. And then the Lord says, lift your hand. I have said ways. Twice I had that roof. I was a competitive surfer. I don't get scared at a lot of things. I was terrified. I remember Dan thinking, are you kidding? I couldn't lift my hands. Are you kidding? And I'm standing there, I'm like, I can't. And I felt his presence that was so near to me, just suddenly to fall away. And I knew that I'd hurt him. You know, it's a bit like a relationship. You know when you got it wrong. You know when you got it wrong. You know when you did something. But what did I do? And I knew I got something that had hurt God. I grieved God. And I was like, look. Because he's God. He expects obedience. And I had just disobeyed. He expects love. But actually, my problem was I loved him more than I loved him. That's why I didn't finance. I loved me. I loved the concept of me more than I loved him. Because I was uncomfortable. I don't forget the presence of it in my life. Please just bring the presence again out of my hands. Of this presence comes to him, lift your hands. I can't do it. I'm sorry, I can't do it. His presence lifted. And then it's coming at me. I'm gone. Okay, Lord. Please, I'm sorry, one more time, to bring your presence, I'll do it. His presence never came. And then I realized, well, what have I done? I take it, God's presence for granted. And I realized I was in trouble. I called him Lord, but he wasn't my Lord. And I got on my knees, this is how they said, Lord, I'm going to show you how I will obey you. And I got on my knees for the first time, indeed. I said, Lord, this is how serious I am. Please bring the presence back. I'm so sorry, I hurt you. And I put this presence finally on the floor. And I lifted my hand for the first time. And that was the beginning of a whole lot of stretching that God's done. As He's taught me how to love Him, but He loves me. And you know what I found? Those things felt like they were going to kill me. They felt like they were going to hurt me. They felt like I thought I was uncomfortable. I found as I embraced what He loved, I found love. I found that I was free. I found that I was breaking free from the things that God's holding me down. And, you know, I thought that I was actually living by not doing those things and free in not doing those things. I found a freedom in my soul in doing those things. And I learned that what God loves is actually more attractive than what I love. Still today. Why do you give money to people when the Bible says in the New Testament they share their possessions as they have need? You have anyone in need? Why are you giving all the money you earn to somebody else that didn't earn it? And it's not that they're needing to tell you, because that would be a cult. It's just, you know what the Lord's speaking to you with. Why? Because you're moving. His ways are better than ours. And there's life when you follow them. And you start to reflect His image. And He is good.
Yes.
I want to be a God, be like Him. I want to reflect Him. I want you to look at me and see Him. So it's a daily process, the Bible says, of losing your life to find out. You know, if you hear me, you're going to join this church plant, and it's going to be sacrificial. This would be a move. There's a whole bunch of gospel across the city. It's very easy. Just go to the point. Go out of the way. Next week, there's like how many of you? 35. So the building might be jammed on us. And all the frothers that have come too excited, watch here. It's going to feel a bit like. And you're going to have some other guitar that's playing two chords, and that's the limit of worship.
And I was like, whoa! Whoa!
But it's in the sacrifice and surrender that what you do in pushing through creates place for others to come into that life.
Yeah.
You might be the first, I don't know if you get one of the stories, but I often tell them when you've gone out and shared. I was like, I had long hair. Actually, Nick Mark, I think one of the first pastors, he was one of the pastors in the area that we planted in. You were there at the time, weren't you? Yeah, that's right. So I arrived there, and I'm like, there's all these churches around, and we just church quite. And there was, Josh Jen was then a figment of my imagination, something that the Lord had spoken, because I was like, in our head and our heart, but it was just us. Jenny was with us, and I'm like, yeah. And I remember that first meeting, we were in our lounge, because we had no venue, it was my house. It was great, and it was Jenny and Melanie, my wife and I, and the dog. And I was standing there, and I remember trying to, you know, my wife had been to calls at that point, and she was trying to, it was terrible. And I remember, you know, she was so much in, and stopped and fired the next, like, and I lift my hands, and I was like, this is terrible. Was anyone going to come? And just around the corner of the church called West Coast Church, with Margaret Murray. And then we just started at that moment. And I heard trumpets and keyboards and drums and guitars and commercial media. And that echoed through into my living room. And I was like, it's never going to happen. Like, seriously, like, why would we be there to join us? Like, why would anyone join us? But the Lord had spoken to us. And then, you know, people come one by one and they're terrified and they can't call them the small of the death. You show them the Bible and you live in a journey like that. And then you work so hard to see every person come because you realize the church is only a church for these people. And Jesus loves people. He loves it when we express our love together as a community, as a family. So we finally got there with Chris, and then one of the first families that came, we were all young, single, married, no kids. You had a kid, Abel was 10. And we had no kids ministry. And the first family we had no kids. The core kids, many of you know them, the elders and muscle day right now. And I looked over here just thinking, God, they've been sick. And at the end of the meeting, I walked up to them and I was trying to check them out. I saw Steve that week. And he's like, I really love the meeting, but how are your kids? I have kids in this community. No, there's no other children. I want my children to grow up with these kids that they can look up to, talk at Sunday school and stuff. So, really sorry we weren't joining. He's like, oh, give me wisdom, please. And this got in our hearts. And I said to him, Steve, you could join Church Down the Road. You didn't wind up many people, you know, I wouldn't come for much. But you join us. And you'd be the first family of children. And when another family walks through the doors, and they go to the children, they look at us and think, man, no place here for us. But because they see your children, they say, well, maybe. And I think you'd be the first of your kind and break something open in us by your sacrifice. And one day, when Josh's generation is hundreds, maybe a thousand children, no one will know that you were the one who paid the price for that. If they don't turn the church down the road at all, they'll have to count with us. And then that Simon can say, the children will all grow up, serve the Lord, they're all part of the church, they love the Lord, and I'm married. And he comes through as an elder of the life of the church, where he's just touched so many lives. And I want to say that to you, if you come here today. Do not look around and think, oh my goodness. But Jesus joins people together.
Yes.
So that his name can be known and can be done. And in the early church, I love this about them. There were Jews and non-Jews. That would be the equivalent of all South Africa. Of whites and non-whites in the middle. I mean, in that culture, the Jews would not actually even, if I'm a Gentile, so I was the number out there. If I touched the Jews, if I touched the pen on my hand, in Jewish culture in the first century, no Jew would touch that pen because it's now it's unclean. The Gentiles touched it. He would not come to my house. He wouldn't come through the door of my house. It would be sinful for him to even enter into my house. Now that Jews and Gentiles get saved, they're meeting together as a church. And you can imagine what that did to the community. Like, what are you doing? Hang out with those strong people. And they found that in Jesus. There's no wrong with Jews and Gentiles. Like, why? We only found in him. And we learn to love one another, and they're ruined. Slaves and slave owners in the same year. In fact, I've heard it said that one of the great witnesses of the early church was that slaves are saved law in the law. And slaves, according to Roman law, had less rights than a donkey. We were regarded as not human, literally, in the Roman law. You were not regarded as a human being if you were slave in Roman law. That's the first century church. A slave owner would literally decide to kill you in the marketplace. And it's just, you know, chop your head off, whatever they want to do. And no one can do anything wrong because that person is a slave and not a human being. And that slaves and their masters get saved. You can imagine what the slave church is and the slave masters are, but they're not in the New Testament. They gather together. And I can imagine, and I've heard this said from sociologists in that study, one of the greatest witnesses of the church was to walk into the meeting and watch slave owners washing the feet of the slaves. Because they knew that the Lord of the universe, the one who made it all, had washed the feet of his disciples with just his bare being. And this love has made the world take notice and what caused Christianity to grow out of it. That spirit, that work of God, is exactly how it is today. So the Lord wants to add us into church. And you're different and you've got a little weird stuff. And he's a good thing. We're all a little weird. But he loves us. And we need to love one another as much, Bible says, as we love ourselves. And the Lord wants to establish a community of that express that.
Yes, come on now. Yes.
He wants to establish a place, as I said, where every single person comes to give and to give.
Yes.
Where every single person realizes that my life is here to make a difference for the King of Glory. That one day I will stand in front of him and give an account for the things I've done. And I want my life to be a witness to him. We are not a place where we will be able to depart. We are not a place that you're going to stay comfortable. If we were, that we'd be failing you. Because you're a child of God. And God is he says, before I made you, I made you fish. I will. Before I made you, before I made you, before I formed you, I had already planned things that I was going to do through life. Our job as leaders is to see who you are, that God made you, come to fruition, and then to establish places that you can come forward and serve in the uniqueness of your own gift. And then they got from your life.
Amen.
Every single one of us.
Yeah.
In Ephesians 2, Ephesians 2 verse, sorry, Ephesians 4, 16. Ephesians 4, 16. Thank you. This is all about the church, right? And the church is like all the body, the whole body. In other words, we're the expression of Jesus, the body of it, is joined and held together. Every joint, which is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body, makes the church grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Did you see that that's not a spectator sport? Did you see that that's not something you visit on a Sunday and just carry your life? No. This is a place where, as the whole body, we're all linked, as we join and held together, and as we come and we're equipped, and each one of us, that's what we are called to do, is each part of us is working properly, the body grows so that it builds itself up in life. Which means, without you functioning properly, the church will never be what God intended it to be. God has chosen to live His glory to meet you. And you might be thinking, but I don't know, I've got a whole lot to give. Join the club. I lived in a car. I had even suicide twice. I battled with suicide and depression. It took me 2 years to get free from drugs. Join the club. God chooses the foolish, the broken, the weak. All He asks is we come and give them surrender. And I believe this morning is people that is here. And the Lord is saying, I love you. Purposely, I haven't watched
you. Yes.
You're not just, you know, visiting and just by the way, you're just invited by some friend to hear because God's got a message for you. And it's this: that He loves you, that He died on the cross to save you from the sin, and that He has a purpose for your life.
Yes.
And if you will give Him yourself, you will find that thing which He made you for. And your life will be witness to Him. As this guy's making an elder. Not a deacon. And the Lord has chosen to use the foolish. The broken, the weak, the despised, to sell the wisdom of the wise. The church works that each of us gives ourselves to Him and to one another. And as this thing is established, I'm calling to it. I remind you of that. And I say one day, you know, some want to hold your average. 4 years. Now, I mean, I have some to go and this. Started 4 years ago. In two churches, people's lives changed as each part of this. As you come to the King and the Lord, man, I don't know what I can bring, but I'm here. If you're training and equipping, I'll serve you. I love you, close and pray. Now, I want to really call for two things as I pray with you. The first is, I don't know everyone yet, but I do know the Bible says this, that God, there's a mystery that you quickly understand. God uses broken, foolish things, but God doesn't use foolish things. He describes. The Bible says that every single human being on the planet has missed out. In Romans 3:22, all the apostle writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You might be the nicest person here, but on your own, in your own good works, your own merit, when you stand in front of God, you have done it. You haven't done the way He wants you to know. And you haven't loved your brother the way He wants you to love your brother. You might mean you've sinned and you did your next. And I can't save myself. Jesus said, there's no way to the Father but through me. Bible says in Romans 6:23, two chapters later, the wages of sin, or the consequence of messing up sin, is definitely its separation from God. You cannot have intimate fellowship with me. You can't know me because your sin separates you from Him. If you think you're going to get to heaven because you're a good person, you need to see Jesus said that you've fallen short of the glory of God. If you've ever sinned, and I'm just talking one sin, the way is a consequence of death. If you've ever sinned, this one, look at all the blood. Got cross when it takes it in front of you. You fool! Jesus said, when you said that, in Hebrew, you fool. You know the name, you walk with enough. You know, sin. I fall short a lot. I don't deserve His love. But God so loved the world. He sent His only Son. That whoever believes in His death, what He died on the cross 2,000 years ago, in my place, hanging there, cursed with the sin of the world upon itself, but and your sin, and your sin, upon Him. He willingly took it, because He loved us. So that if we would believe in Him, we would receive the gift of God, a free gift of grace, meaning unmerited, unmerited favor. And you believe, just believe, that Jesus died for you, with your sin on the cross. If you believe in Him, He will forgive you alone. This little sin is gladly washing out the sun, just in a moment. Because if you pay for in full, my sin, if you pay for in full, your sin, have you paid for in full? But you need to believe that you see.
Yes.
If you believe, and God says He will forgive you, no matter. Wash your sin away, no matter what you've done. And give you a new start. You'll be born again, brothers, and power of the Holy Spirit. Into a new life, where you live in the glory of God. And this is what salvation is. This is what Jesus and the early apostles thought. There is no way, Jesus. There's no way to the Father, there's no way to heaven, but through Him.